Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. What a fitting weekend to have the True Love Wait ceremony this morning and the banquet following our worship for the families and the students who have recommitted and made this commitment this morning before you. And speaking of Valentine's weekend, I've heard how a man bought his wife a new bag and a new belt. You know, as a husband, I wouldn't dare buy Alicia a new bag, a new belt, because it would be the wrong style and the wrong color. Okay? Well, this man bought his wife a brand new bag and a brand new belt, and he was telling, you know, the men around him about it, and they said, "Wow." And he said, "You know, that vacuum cleaner ought to work a lot better now." None of the ladies laughed. I thought that was pretty good. This morning, it's not a Valentine's message, but, you know, it's about how the church was edified, the early church. And to edify, which means to build up, it takes love, don't it? Love edifies. Knowledge puffs up. Now, you can know all the facts and figures and do this and do that and have knowledge in all things. That'll make you prideful if you're not careful. But love edifies. Love builds up. Love builds one another up. Acts chapter 9, verse 31 is our theme verse for the next few Sundays. And looking at being a Acts 9:31 church. So in verse 31, let's read. "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied." Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you that through your power and strength, Lord, that the church, your church, can be edified. Lord, through us coming together and worshiping this morning is edification of one another. This can't be done any other place but at the church house with God's people. So, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of this time of public worship and adoration of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, may you continue to build us up through the preaching of your word this morning. Please speak through me. I'm nothing without you. And, Lord, may we, Lord, commit and recommit the want to grow in you. And may you have all the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. The churches were edified. They were built up, not torn apart. I read a story about a little church in Tennessee, and it's called the Left Foot Baptist Church. Why, that's a strange name to be called the Left Foot Baptist Church. What had happened, the church in that little community, part of their worship was washing each other's feet. And that is a great act of showing love and support and an act of worship because Jesus washed the disciples' feet. But this church in Tennessee, you know, it was all good, but some would want their right foot washed first. Some said, no, the left foot first. So a dissension occurred, and a group split off the church and started their own church, and they're called the Left Foot Baptist Church. And isn't that something? To destroy something like the church over something like that. When God's Word says we are to build up, we are to edify one another and edify the church. So what does it mean for the churches to be built up? The church should not ever be built up on the popularity of a pastor, because he's just a man. Churches should never be built up just on the music program, because if we change all the music to suit people's needs, guess what? Something else won't satisfy them next time. Did you know that? The church cannot be built up upon the latest fad or the latest book that comes across the stores of Lifeway. The church cannot be built upon fables. The church cannot be built upon philosophy. So what does the church build with? What does it begin with? Of course, the church, the very beginning of edification, is Christ Jesus the Lord to the church. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I got some passages about the church being edified. Ephesians chapter 2 is one of them. You can look on the screen or turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19. It says this, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." The chief cornerstone, if you ever built a wall in masonry, I was a bricklayer in the Air Force. You build your corners first. You have your foundation, and you set that them corner bricks or blocks, whatever you're setting. You go to the next corner, and you set that, and you run you a string line, and you start laying your brick and your block level with that string line. So Jesus Christ is the very beginning of edification. He is the chief cornerstone. He is, and His Word is the plumb line to build with. Jesus Christ. And we grow into a holy temple in the Lord, verse 22, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So we are being built, the church is being built, and He is the very beginning of edification. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you would turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 says this, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anything is built for the kingdom of God, it must be in and through and upon Jesus Christ the Lord. Anything other than that is not kingdom's work. He is the very foundation and the very beginning of edification. Also, how the churches were edified here in the book of Acts. Edification is the outcome when Scripture is studied, believed, and obeyed. Jesus Christ, the very foundation, now is Jesus and His Word. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth of God. It's the church. And when we study God's Word and believe it. You know, there's one thing about studying it, but believing it is a big part of edification. Just simply believing what God said. Brother Paul taught a great lesson in the couples class in Sunday school, and we studied Genesis 1. That's how faith begins. In the beginning, God created. Folks, if we could get back to that in our homes, then it would get back into the schools if God's people would just simply believe what God said. We could build up instead of tear down. So when Scripture is studied and believed and obeyed, trusting and obeying, you know, God's Word is the truth. It is the authority in our lives. It was inspired. Last Sunday night we studied Psalm 22 and how it is a description of the crucifixion to a T, and how the Messiah was to be crucified, and that was written hundreds of years before crucifixion was invented. I mean, line upon line, God's Word is truth, and it should be the authority of God's people, not the latest fad or what some talk show host says, but God's Word is the authority in our lives and in the church. 2 Timothy chapter 3, listen to what this scripture says concerning God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for what? For salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Next verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It means God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God should be fully equipped for every good work. See, Scripture, believing it and studying it and obeying it. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Studied, believed, and obeyed. Amen? The Scriptures. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. To practice lawlessness is to be out from under authority. To be out from under God's Word as the guideline, the plumb line, the authority of right and wrong. Not your opinions, not your conscience, but God's Word tells us what's right and wrong. And to practice lawlessness is to do things you say for God, but not obeying what the Scripture says. And what will He say to you who practice lawlessness without being on the authority of Scripture? Depart, I never knew you. And he goes on and says this, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. God's Word, the authority, not your social media, not what is made up in the internet world, but the God, the Lord Jesus of the Bible, and His Word is our authority. Amen, church? And we are built up by studying it and believing it and obeying God's word. We have quit doing that. We can blame everybody else, but folks, it has left the home. And look where our nation is today. Look what our lawmakers are discussing in Washington today. Why? Because it has left the home. That's why. Oh, we can blame the public schools and all that. It's not their fault. It left your home first before it left there. The authority of God's word, the things you ought to do and not to do, is in God's word. And when we believe it and obey it, the church, who is the church? Us. Be edified, built up. Speaking of edification, edification in and through the church involves each member ministering, encouraging, and using their gifts and talents in love for your profit, for the profit of others. Every one of you have gifts and talents. You're not using them for... I'll stand here and tell you. You're not using them for the service of the King. You're using them for your own profit. You are. When you only come to church just when you feel like it, or you don't have nothing else to do, you're using your gifts and talents for your own profit. Not for the profit of others. Love edifies. Do you love the church? Christ loved it and gave His life for the church. He loves you. Do you love these little kids enough to teach them? Or youth enough to support them? Ministering is other people. Encouraging means to build up. There's a great example like Barnabas in the book of Acts. He was always encouraging. He's called the son of encouragement. Coming alongside and support. And you are gifted and talented. God has given you talents and gifts for the edification of the church. Ephesians chapter 4. One last passage of scripture. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. Says this. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Listen to me. You got a problem with what's been said from this pulpit? What God has said this morning? I'm not God in any way, but I've been reading Scripture to you. You got a problem with God. Okay? It says, but speaking the truth in love. I love you. Did you know that? We are to love one another. may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working of which every part does its share. Are you doing your share for the church? Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love, for the building up of itself in love. Are you doing your share? No, we are a family. We know how families ought to work. You got a mom and daddy. You got children. Daddy does his part in love. Mama does her part. The children do their part. And they're a family. They're a team. But now we've got granddaddies having to do it. And grandmas having to do it. And the rest of you go and play. That's not edification. That's not according to what God's Word says. I know you can go and hear another preacher someplace and just show up and then go home and not be bothered about actually being a Christian and serving Christ. I know you can do that. But you need to hear the truth this morning. Someone please turn the heaters off if they're on. I'm getting hot up in here. Thank you, Brother Ronnie Mack. If you're cold, I apologize. I'm hot. Do your share. Do your part. Now listen, to build up in love, we cannot compromise certain things. We cannot compromise what a family is. You know, we talked about believing Scripture, the inspiration of Scripture, the authority. We're accused as Southern Baptists to fight all the time. Some years ago, when I first went into ministry, 20 years ago, the fight was over whether God's Word was inspired or not. It is. God breathed His truth. And yet we had to have a fight in our convention because there were liberal preachers that placed doubt on God's Word. In 2000, we stood and said a family consists of a husband, a man, and a woman. And they both come, leave mom and daddy, and they both become one flesh. And we took that stand, and Jimmy Carter and other liberal people left. Praise God. And now look at the other denominations. They got homosexuals in the pulpits professing, not repented homosexuals, but professing living homosexuals in the pulpit. And there's doubt on God's Word in those great denominations of the past. But here we are. We still believe God's Word, but we're slipping. Because of you, you're slipping. Because if God's Word was the authority in your life, you would be serving Jesus in the church and through the church. Not to say, oh, look how many numbers we got. To reach a lost community. And living a witness before Him, that's why we come together, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why. That's why. I read about the giant redwood trees in the Pacific Northwest, the largest trees on our planet. How tall they were, a couple of thousand years old and more, And they're huge. But you know something about a redwood tree? They have a shallow root system. Shallow. And a redwood, giant, tall redwood tree cannot stand for long by itself. Their roots are interlocked like this in the forest. And that is what keeps them, their height from being blown over when that wind comes off the Pacific Ocean and across there. Their root system is interlocked together and they stand strong. What can that tell us? Folks, we got to be together on this. Each one do their share. Each one do their share to serve the Lord. And we can be edified. Your life will be built up. Your family will be built up. And the church will be built up for the glory of God. That's what it's for. For the glory of God. The churches. They had peace. They were edified. Loving one another in unity. To encourage one another. To minister to one another with their gifts and their talents. We're fixing to have an invitation. You can respond this morning. First of all, my question is, do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? I'm not asking you to have a knowledge of a religious concept. I'm talking about a knowledge of a relationship. You know Him. Do you know Him? If not, I'll be here to help you all I can to know Jesus. Church member, please do your part. Because I promise you this, when we're in eternity and you're not doing your part now, you're going to regret it. You'll regret it. Maybe you need to join the church this morning. And say, yeah, I need to be about the Lord's doing in my life. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Let's pray first. Lord, we do thank you again for your word. Lord, the picture of what we ought to be in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us, Lord, to tend to eternity for your glory during this invitation. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.